From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. In Libya, street demonstrators calling for the ouster of longtime ruler Muammar Gaddafi have clashed with security forces. NPR's Jason Bobian reports from Cairo. The protests have now engulfed the capital, Tripoli.
Security forces loyal to Muammar Gaddafi opened fire on protesters in the capital, Tripoli, today. According to witnesses, internet posts, and sporadic news reports, foreign journalists are not being allowed into the country. Telephone service and cell phone signals into Libya were shut down repeatedly on Monday. And the Al Jazeera television network says Libyan authorities jammed its satellite signal across the country. Gaddafi's government, according to his own son, has lost control of the eastern city of Benghazi, where the uprising began. The price to the protesters, however, has been high, with dozens of people killed in Benghazi and Tripoli alone. Gaddafi also lost two Mirage fighter jets when their pilots flew to Malta and asked for political asylum. Jason Bobian, NPR News, Cairo.
Libyan State TV is reporting Gaddafi is expected to speak soon. Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker says he will not negotiate over his plan to strip most collective bargaining rights from public employees in that state. Speaking in a news conference today at the state capitol, Walker also said he will not accept any compromises.
We're broke. We don't have any more money. We have a $3.6 billion budget deficit, and you really can't negotiate when you don't have money to negotiate on.
Democrats and unions have said they would accept an increase in the cost of benefits, but not removal of collective bargaining rights. Minnesotans living in a large swath of the state's midsection are digging out today from another big snowstorm. Brant Williams of Minnesota Public Radio has that story.
Nearly a foot and a half of snow fell in the hardest hit parts of the state. Several cities set new records for single-day snowfall totals. The snow has also increased the chances of flooding this spring when all the water trapped in the ground and in the snow begins to flow freely. Around a foot of new snow is blanketing the twin cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul. Like many people, Minneapolis resident Jessica Warner is spending part of her President's Day holiday shoveling out a path for her car.
This has been probably the hardest winter for me since I've been here.
Another 2 to 3 inches of snow is expected to fall before the end of the day. For NPR News, I'm Brant Williams in Minneapolis.
For the Space Shuttle Discovery and the orbiter's six-person crew, the countdown clock is running again after months of delays. Latest plan is for the shuttle to lift off from Cape Canaveral Thursday if the weather cooperates. Kathy Winter is the shuttle's weather officer and says, so far, so good.
We've had some really nice mild conditions with temperatures ranging between the upper 50s and the low 60s. So it's been really nice weather for pre-launch processing, and that's going to continue.
Flight was halted 4 months ago after a hydrogen gas leak, and after that, discovery of cracks in the shuttle's fuel tanks. This is the last scheduled mission for Discovery, which would then be retired to the Smithsonian. U.S. financial markets are closed for the President's Day holiday today, though markets were open in Europe. In London, the FTSE 100 fell 68 points. You're listening to NPR. In a matter of weeks, perhaps days, the Pentagon is expected to announce the winning company in a contest to build the next generation air refueling tanker. In nearly a decade-long battle, Boeing and European consortium EADS have been fighting for a lucrative $35 billion contract to build nearly 200 planes to replace the military's aging fleet of tankers, some of which date back to the Eisenhower era. If Boeing wins, the tanker would be built in Everett, Washington and Wichita, Kansas. If EADS wins the contract, the tanker would be assembled in Mobile, Alabama. Either way, about 50,000 jobs would be involved. Reporting from Cairo, Merritt Kennedy says the Egyptian government is now requesting all assets held by President Mubarak's family be frozen.
Ever since Mubarak resigned, there has been growing anger here over the Mubarak family's wealth. These past few days, there have been wildly varying estimates of the family's net worth, most commonly in the tens of billions of dollars. It is widely speculated that much of this money is overseas. Now, Egypt's top prosecutor has requested other countries to place a freeze on the family's assets. That's according to Egyptian state television. State media also reported that the former president claimed he has no assets abroad. However, the Swiss government has already frozen assets suspected to be Mr. Mubarak's. For NPR News, I'm Merritt Kennedy in Cairo.
After plunging a bit due to global economic weakness, Cuba now says its cigar sales appear to have rebounded slightly. Government-run Habanos S.A. says sales were up 2% last year to $368 million. That follows a roughly 8% decline the previous year. Top buyers of hand-rolled Cuban cigars are Spain, France, and China, which recently replaced Germany as the third biggest consumer. I'm Jack Speer, NPR News.